Blog Talk Radio.
What do I do with my idea for a new product? I tell them.
I can't believe I did that. Let me try this again, gentlemen.
All right.
I am sitting in my couch here in Grand Prairie, Texas, and I'm actually not that far away from Dallas. I'm about 30 minutes from where the shootings happened the other night. I'm thousands of miles, hundreds of miles away from really identifying with every single ounce of pain that I know is being felt by the whole world right now, literally the whole world. And so I really don't know what else to say other than I've been spreading joy and I've been hoping to do that. But I found myself the last couple of days being silent because I've been so sad and so hurt by what's going on. And I wanted to just share with you my own arrangement of a song that I came across that has really meant something amazing to me. And so you're going to have to bear with me because I don't play piano as my first instrument. And I'm very nervous to just share this with you because it's so vulnerable. But I felt like somebody needs to sing these lyrics again and sing them over our world and just be a good reminder. So that's all I'm going to do, just sing it real quick and then hope that it in some way touches you and inspires you today to make a better place. Ready? Here we go.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love, and this place could be so much brighter than tomorrow. Oh, and if you really try, in this place you will feel there's no hurt, no hurt, and no sorrow. And there are ways that you can get there if you care enough for the living. So make a little place, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place, make a better place, make a better place, make a better place. Make a better place, make a better place. If there's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love, and this place could be so much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, in this place you will feel there's no hurt, no hurt, and no sorrow. There are ways you can get there if you care enough for the living. So make a little place, make a better place. Oh, and heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and me. Entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place, make a better place, make a better place. If there are people dying, if you care enough for the living, oh, oh, make a better place. Make a better place, make a better place, make a better place, make a better place. And
welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm down in South Florida, along with our special guest today, author, historian, and political commentator here, Ronald Feynman. Thank you, Ronald, for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me again. I really appreciate it.
And our other host today with us is F. Wayne Johnson. Wayne, thanks for being with me today. We'll miss Jack.
It's my pleasure as always, Gwen. We got a lot of work to do here in the next few months.
Good Lord. That opening song I wanted to play because, you know, all the good positive vibes you can put out into the world count. You're a musician,
right,
Wayne. You know that. You know
yes,
that music will change the mood. And that was the Chewbacca mom, the Chewbacca lady. She got the Chewbacca mask and made a video of it, made a lot of people smile and laugh. And her name is it's Candace Saint, and she's there in Texas, and she was just putting that video out to raise people's consciousness. Do a job, make people feel better in life. You know, I don't think we remember sometimes that what kind of an influence we have. We're a pebble in the pond when we go out. And Ron probably knows this because he's a teacher and he sees the immediate reactions and responses from students. And he probably gets this. But, you know, I can remember riding along in traffic in on Wilton Drive down in Lauderdale a couple of years back. And I looked over and there was this elderly lady on a bus and she was looking out the window and she looked so forlorn. And she caught my eye and I caught hers and I smiled at her very sincerely. And I could tell it almost shocked her, but she smiled back and she even raised her hand and waved at me. Now, I understood implicitly that it made a nice difference. It's
well,
like
right.
When you're teaching a class, you know?
Yes, may I speak up here and say that my mother, may she rest in peace, years ago said, if you smile, people smile back at you. And I've always made it my business to smile at people I don't know, and
yeah,
it makes everybody's
right.
day better.
Well,
it does.
I was going to say, and for me to interject here, one of my most favorite Maya Angelou quotes are, they may not remember what you do, they may remember your name, they may never not remember what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Correct.
And for me, and I know that the legacy of, and that's what I try to do, is unspoken word, but yet you connected with her on a most human aspect, and you made that woman feel very good at that moment. She didn't know your name, she didn't know what you did, but she knew how you made her feel.
Yeah, I want to intervene to say that with politics, when you have a candidate or someone in office who's nasty and mean-spirited, that is not the kind of person we need in office. We need people who give out good vibes to people and make them feel better about their lives, not worse.
You've got to share, right. Your job is to share hope, let them know that there is a possibility for a better life if we work together.
Yeah,
correct.
And that's exactly what Mrs. Clinton's doing right now. I don't know if anybody heard her speech in Philadelphia to the Baptists there at that convention, the AMA or something. I don't know what
the actual. Yeah, the American Black. It's the Black Baptist up there.
Yeah.
Or is it Methodist? It's Methodist, I think.
Yeah, and
in Philadelphia.
She spoke to him and. There was a 4-minute cut from it that was on her page. I wish I had remembered to earmark it because it's really worth playing. What she did was, and every time Hillary does it, every time she comes from her heart.
Absolutely, you're right. Yeah.
Every time she comes from her heart, hang on a second here. You'll see what I mean. Every time she does that, every time she comes from her heart, it's killer. It's a winner.
Climate racism that plagues our country and rebuilding our communities where the police and citizens all see themselves as being on the same side. will require contributions from all of us. White Americans need to do a better job of listening when African Americans talk. Talk about the seen and unseen barriers you face every day. We need to try as best we can to walk in one another's shoes. To imagine what it would feel like if people followed us around stores or locked their car doors when we walked past.
Boy, did she get it.
Or if every time our children went to play in the park or went to for a ride or just to the store to buy iced tea and Skittles.
Yeah.
We said a prayer. Please, God. Please, God, don't let anything happen to my baby.
Jesus.
And let's put ourselves in the shoes of police officers, kissing their kids and spouses goodbye every day and heading off to a dangerous job we need them to do. And gunfire broke out yesterday night and everyone ran to safety. The police officers ran the other way into the gunfire.
Yeah.
That's the kind of courage our police and first responders show every single day somewhere across America. And let's remember, let's think about what Dallas Police Chief David Brown said this morning. He said, please join me in applauding these brave men and women who do this job under great scrutiny, under great vulnerability, who literally risk their lives to protect our democracy. He went on to say, we don't feel much support these days. Let's not make today most days. Let's remember that, not just today, but every day. And let's ask ourselves, what can I do? What can I personally do to stop violence and promote justice? How can I show that your life matters to me, that I have a stake in your
John
safety
Kennedy.
And well-being?
John Kennedy.
Elie Wiesel, who died last week, once clarified for us that the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference. None of us can afford to be indifferent toward each other. Not now, not ever.
Is that a winner or what?
That's very good. Nailed it.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to say one thing.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Ron. I'm going to say one thing here.
Yeah.
For those who may have a more conservative view that may be listening to the program or in a podcast following this broadcast is George Will, who, whether you agreed with him or not, always argued his point from logical argumentation. He had, this is the way I feel, this is how I've come to those things. He has resigned his membership in the Republican Party because he has such disdain for how
he's not the only one
tracks this thing has gone.
He's not the only one. There's plenty. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's like one of the big names. Absolutely, Professor.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And then you look at probably what I consider one of the most religiously convicted men, Jimmy Carter, is basically removing himself from the Southern Baptist religion that he grew up with because a lot of the Southern Baptists are preaching basically Klansmen, John Birch Society, hate. He says, I cannot be part of this or identified with this either.
Yes, I wanted to make the statement that Hillary is not the orator that her husband is or Barack Obama is, but listening to what she was saying, she sounded to me like Robert Kennedy in 1968 when he was assassinated.
Good call. Yes, you are right. I heard that. Now that you mention it, I hear it too.
And you know what I heard?
I got that feeling. My God, it's RFK's come back.
Yeah, she did. I've known it since I've been listening to her. I mean, she has that Kennedy melancholy, if you will. Maybe it's because she's a woman and she's a leader. And maybe it was the Irish melancholy and the Kennedys, but Teddy didn't.
Yeah.
So. Look, you're looking at an Irish woman here. But
yeah.
The way she addressed it, I also thought of what she just said there was a lot like the inauguration speech in 1960, where he
yeah.
said, "That's not what your country can do for you."
John F. Kennedy, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
She said, don't look to, you know, you have to reach out and you have to make the motion. And she's quite right. She's trying to galvanize people to action.
Right. I'm going to say something I want to interject here. They have bashed this woman, thrown all kinds of crap on her, hoping anything will stick. Nihilistic statements, I'll just out and out lies, since she was the first lady in 92. And we've had nothing but close to, what, 16, almost 20 years of it now.
24, actually, almost 25 years now.
Thank
yeah.
you, right, 24
yeah.
years of it. And there's people who, you know, it's like you said, repeat a lie often and frequently enough, it starts to take a life of its own. Hillary
yeah.
Clinton is not the venomous, crooked, lying,
no.
cheating,
right.
I plot murders, all this kind of crap that
no,
she has
but...
been painted with.
And meanwhile, and Donald Trump has been shown as 91% of the time he's lying.
Yes.
I'm surprised 9% he's telling the truth.
It's crazy that people don't hear what so many commentators and people are saying in the news stories that are coming out about him and his business dealings and his integrity with people. I mean, 60 Minutes put that piece up on Donald Trump's Virginia Country Club that had mm-hmm. won some architectural acclaim, but the architect himself went on and told the story of how Trump and his people cheated him out of the money they owed him, and were going to force him to bankruptcy if he didn't take pennies on the dollar or dimes on the dollar for the work and the investment he made in it. And he's a chiseler, is what he is.
He's much more than that.
He is nothing but a con man.
Well, he's a chiseler and a thief, and you know he's the kind of thief that the Jewish people call a Ghana. You know,
well, can I get a translation here?
Yeah. A Ghana, from how I understand it, is somebody who's not only it, but they're despicable with the way they do it. You know.
Well,
one thing
go.
Is clear
yeah.
as far as Jews are concerned: Donald Trump is not a mensch. M-E-N-S-C-H, a decent human being. He definitely isn't.
I dearly love you, Professor. I've been friends for 10 plus years, and I just keep being reaffirmed that you were a good friend to meet.
He basically has been out there screwing it up royal, too. I mean, now he's putting it out there. It's coming out that who he really wants on the VP ticket. That would be his daughter, Ivanka. And
it's absolutely ridiculous.
And you guys can't see the ego show going down here. I
oh,
know.
Well, the thing is, when I first read that, Gwen, I thought, is this some gin mill run rumor that somebody's putting out there just to gin
no.
it up? Or was that an actual thing? In other words, it was so bizarre. I had to question it as like, oh, what is the true validity of this? Is that a real statement?
I had no trouble understanding that it was true right the minute I heard it. I mean, have you guys
yep.
taken a look at the behavior of this guy? Don't your instincts and intuition?
Oh, his hubris is beyond grandiose, okay?
No,
I'll say that.
I do find it interesting that Bob Corker decided he wasn't interested, and neither was Joni Ernst. And Joni Ernst, I always thought of as being like Sarah Palin. Now I give her more credit.
Yeah, well, anybody who ties their coattails to this guy knows that they're going down. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
smart money right now is just on how to stay away from it. That's where the Republican smart money is. How do we stay away from this guy and not throw the party down the drain?
Guilt by association. That's exactly right. Because there's a lot of senators, Republican senators. that aren't even going to show up to the convention because they do not want to be affiliated with it right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wanted to say,
you know,
I published an article.
Bush, Daddy Bush, none of the prime players
yes,
in the Republican
and
Party
Romney,
of past
yes.
are going
yes.
to be attended because they are not going to get painted with the crap paintbrush this guy's been smearing.
Well,
yeah, I wanted to say the last week on HNN, History News Network, I predicted, you know, the list of possible vice presidential candidates for him, and my top two, and I still think one of them is going to be it, is either Chris Christie or former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown, because they're both lapdogs. They have said all the right things, have never been critical. Even Newt Gingrich has been critical of some things he has said, Trump.
Right.
So I still think it's going to be Christie or Scott Brown is going to be, I think, very likely the VP nominee.
We'll
see.
I can see Christie bending over and taking it up the old kazoo, you know, whenever he wants to have
a big kazoo.
A big kazoo, that's right.
Yeah, you know, Christie.
I think the word would be bombastic here.
Yes.
Christie is a bully. And we've seen when he was with Trump, I mean, obviously he's feeling a political expediency in this relationship, but I wonder in the last couple of months that he hasn't been around him so much, how much expediency and political tie he really does feel with the guy. You got to remember, too, Christie is politically adept. He's smart about politics. He's not a very smart man, in my opinion, but he is smart about politics and on the Republican side, and he knows this is a ship that's going down. Will he tie himself to it? Scott Brown, oh, yeah, sure, he would. In a New York minute, he would.
Sure,
but,
right.
But
what I'd like to see is Scott Brown debate Elizabeth Warren if she was chosen the vice president, then have another debate.
She would clean his clock.
What did he say? Ron, what did you say?
I was saying that, you know, that Scott Brown lost to Elizabeth Warren, but if Warren is chosen for VP and Brown is, they'll end up debating each other in the VP debate.
That would be beautiful, but I've seen those debates. You know, I mean, Scott Brown is a very bright guy. He's not a bright guy at all.
No, he's above Sarah Palin, but he doesn't have bragging rights. I agree with that.
No, he isn't. And the other thing about Christie is you've got to remember that any guy who's a bully is somebody who likes attention. And Christie just doesn't seem to me like the kind of guy who thinks he could get away with getting any attention because he's gotten hip to who Trump really is. I mean, I think all you got to do is say, hey, I can't say why or how, but I know in my intimate friendship circle that, you know, being around Trump doesn't take long to figure out who and what he is.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Well,
I mean,
the normal people, I'll say, normal and sane people.
Mm-hmm.
The Rush Limbaugh.
A lot of people who are not sane and normal, apparently, in this country,
yeah.
But they like him. I can't figure it out. I have relatives who think he's great. I just don't get it.
I know.
I do too, Professor.
I was really shocked. I mean, to me, especially within the Boca Raton, there's a lot of folks who became Republican that weren't. They were always Democrat till they came to Florida. And,
right.
You know, and that's a lot of the intelligent Asian stuff of communities from New York. And number one would be the Jewish community. And for me to hear so many Boca Raton Jewish women that apparently are in favor of Donald Trump, I'm like, these are intelligent people. What are they talking about?
Well, it's because of two issues. Either it's because they have loads of money and don't want to pay any taxes, which I think is a big factor, that not just Jews but many others, but also because they have this myth that Obama's been terrible for Israel when actually he's been very good for Israel, just doesn't always agree with everything that Netanyahu says, and no president should ever have to always agree with a foreign government and let the foreign government dictate to us. We have a right to disagree with any nation.
Yeah.
And
that's
the two reasons, I think. You know, it's the fear of that Israel's not being protected, which is not true, and also not wanting to pay taxes.
You know, that's probably, I think it's more about the Israel thing, because basically I'm for BDS. I mean, I see what Israel's doing at this point as open apartheid. But and it's not the Israeli people either. It's a right-wing government that has a stranglehold right now on the Israeli people, if you ask me. But,
well, would it not be considered like fundamentally religious, being the right wing?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is. A lot of it is, yeah.
A lot of it, yes, and it's just horrible, the hate in the streets over there too. I mean, Israel's going quite a dance right now. It's no fun there either, or in France and Britain.
Well, you know, Glenn, you bring up a good point, and of course we emailed earlier together on this. There's a lot of discontented conservative hate going on worldwide. You know, we just saw Britain withdraw from the EU because of ginned up lies about how the EU is screwing them over and they're getting nothing out of it and stuff. And when people finally came, and this is, I guess, a real message I want to get out, and we've kind of talked about this for the listeners. And one weekend, right after the vote, there was over 4+ million names on a petition to say, hey, we need to have a re-vote here. In other words, I didn't come out, you know, and vote. I really need to have my voice heard. Well, what I want to tell all the Bernie Sanders and anybody who's in favor of the Green is we have to pull together behind the Democratic candidate, and it's going to be Hillary Clinton, whether you kind of liked her or not, you preferred Bernie and stuff like that, because number one is we cannot afford to have Trump and the rest of these upper uber conservative Tea Party aspects, the real John Birch Society, the Kleinsmen, because we've got to pull together and vote in November, because there's not going to be any do-over. And we are talking about the direction of the Supreme Court for the next 30 years.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, Wayne,
That's the important thing.
Yeah, I wanted to interject not only about the Supreme Court, but I was watching all the way, the movie with Bryan Cranston about LBJ in 1964, the Civil Rights Act and all that. It was a great performance by Bryan Cranston, and made me realize and remember, because it is 52 years ago, how although LBJ won easily over Goldwater, there was no guarantee of it, and he was worried as things happened in September and October, different issues came up, he was very worried and upset, and it made me realize nobody can say, oh, she's going to win it, I don't have to vote. You've got to be active in organizing and paying indeed funds for the, you've got to really be active, not just assume it's going to happen because it makes sense that it will happen, because it might not happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things, the guy who really taught me how to fight political battles, his dad was the Democratic chairman in Newcastle County, Delaware. That's up there in the Wilmington area, by Philadelphia and stuff.
Joe Biden territory. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Joe Biden's territory. And I can tell you right now, his famous quote, and his name is Jim Dolan, like I said, and I really learned a lot from him, another good Irishman. He says, I love it when they underestimate me, because that's when I've got them.
Yeah.
So do not underestimate.
Or as George W. Bush said, miss underestimate me.
Yeah. There you go.
And he didn't know he was making a mistake either.
No, I was going to say, George was such
very
an entertainment
true.
Aspect.
That's very true.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I said, that's very true. I'm just listening to you guys. But
yeah, okay, so. But I was going to say, let's just kind of, I really want to drive that point home to the listeners. Like I said, Bernie Sanders, God bless him. He was exactly what needed to be out there. I rallied and cheered him when he was pushing his agenda, maybe what some thought was too far along in the process that they were going to damage the Hillary Clinton candidate. But I will say that, and this is the good part here, is the Democratic chairman and the convention has adopted many of what Bernie Sanders was saying. We need We need collegiate education, not strapping our young children with huge-ass debts just to get an education, because as many have heard me in my writings and on this radio program here, the true wealth of a nation is in an educated workforce. They're the ones that are going to provide the value added, bring up the new technologies, make new breakthroughs. It's going to be a well-educated workforce.
You do know, of course, that basically today everybody's bitching that yesterday in Orlando and the day before, the Democratic Party would not adopt you know, Cornel West suggestions, the Bernie side of a couple of things. And they're claiming that, it's just colonialism all over again and yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of leftist thinking that people are getting there. They're being absolutely, it's got to change now. The revolution has to begin. It's that kind of a progressiveness out there, even amongst old Democrats. People are fed up. They're really, truly fed up. And so they've gone way overboard. Now, Hillary, though, is moderating some of it, but she's gone pretty far to the left, which is a good thing, because that had to be done. Or people are going to lose their
stuff. The people's voices have been spoken, and she is making note of it. I agree she has heard it.
I hope so. I really
do. I would think, looking ahead, that Hillary will be a lot more progressive a president than her husband, Bill Clinton. I definitely think she will be more to the left than he was.
She has to be, because any move towards the right, or what they call the friggin' middle now, any move in that direction is a bad, poor move, very poor move, in my opinion. And it's also going to lose a lot of what the Democrat Party is becoming. Because Democrats are generally thinking people. I mean, on the other side, all they want to do is make a buck anymore. I mean, that's what Republicans have become, and that's a shame. But anybody who's got a head on their shoulders in the Republican Party, even in communities today, they're thinking about what they're going to make on it. What's that vigorous? What am I getting out of it? Come on. Give it back. Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we just go over to the Libertarian Party? Good Lord.
Yeah.
The Libertarians are liberal.
The question is, how much can Gary Johnson win in percentage of the vote? I think he could win a few percent.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now that's what scares me, because it only took
Jill Stein
to win a few percent of the vote.
Jill Stein, too,
to put W. Bush in there, and that was 8 years of basically economic abuse and then ultimately global devastation.
Yep.
Removed all the checks and balances. It was just ollie and free. And again, the greed destroyed the economy. It was the rest of us, the working middle class. And then when I say working middle class, I can tell you from $150,000 on down, we suffered economically.
Well, yeah.
Paying off their damage.
Well, yeah. It's true. It's all quite true. But is it going to make it
more? Also, the Iraq War, of course, the damage that did.
Yeah.
Well, it was also the abuses of, I'll give you this. Ronald Reagan said, the problem was too much government, get government out of it. And the first thing they did was deregulate the savings and loans industry. And within a matter of a few years, the abuse, the greed, the abuse of it devastated and bankrupted the savings and loan industry. So who comes to have to bail them out? The working middle class.
That's
number
perfect.
Two now. We go on, and the final message is now Clinton, Bill Clinton was not innocent of this either, because he removed the Glass-Steagall Act with the Republicans in Congress and basically deregulated the banking industry because they couldn't compete with the third world guys who were already deregulated. And it destroyed our economy.
Sure.
Globally, you got to have checks and balances. Getting government out of everything is not the answer. All it does, I saw this and it was a very good definition of what trickle down theory is. Trickle down theory means tax cuts for the rich, removal of any kinds of checks and balances law to the powerful, and economic stagnation for the rest of us. That's what trickle down theory is. You're getting the stinky end of the stick. The guy, people to go out and need to vote.
It's a feudalism all over again.
Exactly. No, that's a very good analogy. I like that. Yes, it is feudalism all over again. I can do whatever I need because the laws make me immune.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up something I'm concerned about. There was this rally Trump had in Cincinnati, and people were calling for killing Hillary Clinton. I'm very worried, as an author of a book on assassinations and assassination threats, that she's really in danger. And, of course, Trump is too, I think, to an extent, but I think she really is in danger. And when you have people starting to chant that is terrifying, you know?
When you have ministers on the pulpit praying that God or someone, through God's tool, kill President Obama or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Through prayer.
Yeah,
That
is abominable. That is
right. That's not religion. That's hate.
Oh, but
and that
course,
is exactly opposite of what Jesus was trying to teach, or any teachings of religion.
And how about former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, who threatened Obama the other day, you know, after the shooting and killing of police officers? He was basically threatening he should be arrested.
He's that idiot he's the same idiot who owes child support and alimony and picks fights with constituents in the street to get attention from the press. This is
and
not
he
like,
also said. He also said Tammy Duckworth was not a hero, just like Donald Trump said John McCain's not a hero.
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that. I when he was down here campaigning, and he wasn't campaigning. It was the first time he went around with Bush, and I was down here in the state, and I spoke with John McCain, sat at a table with him and a couple other people I knew, and drank beer with him. I like him. I like him as a person.
I had a lot at one time had a lot of respect for John McCain.
But
when they saddled him with Sarah Palin, I thought, we're done.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare. It's still going on.
Yes. Right. She still thinks she has a politifying voice. And unfortunately,
she's on the list to be vice president. She could be.
Yes, that's true. I'm sorry.
She's part of my list that I think could be.
You know, guys.
Imagine if he picked her. Oh, my God.
Excuse me. I was saying I like John McCain as a person. I could get along with him and possibly make friends with him. But as far as the politician and leader goes, he's a piece of shit. All he cares about is war. No, he is a guy who lives in fear and brings it to his seat. He brings it to his seat. And I think really, really hard, I think that the Congress, the Democrats in Congress, who for the first time in years made me feel good about them, should do the same thing again. Listen to Joe Lewis and John Lewis and Congresswoman Clark, and get on the floor of the Congress again, and just friggin' dare Ryan to do anything. Call him out. I think Nancy Pelosi has the wherewithal and the stamina to stand up to him that way. I think if he picks a fight with Nancy Pelosi, he's going to be real sorry.
Right. So,
no, he's at his seat. Paul Ryan's seat. He's in trouble for his own seat.
Professor, that's the question I was just getting ready to ask you. I saw something on Facebook, and, I take as a grain of salt because, I have to dig down 12 more layers but I'll get, a little inkling of it. Is Ryan's seat really that much in danger of his now?
From a Tea Party guy who might defeat him for the nomination. Of course, coming in, he might be worse than Ryan, the Tea Party guy.
Yeah, well, see, that was going to be my question. Is it because people are fed up with his obstructionist, or is it the teabaggers that he's not doing a hard enough job of stifling anything?
I think it's more the latter.
That's what I was.
More the latter.
That's kind of where I was leaning to.
It would be like the person who replaced Eric Cantor, David Bratt. He's actually worse than Eric Cantor was. David Bratt is a professor, but he's a real wacko. If you listen to what he says, he actually makes Eric Cantor look liberal.
Yeah.
The only advantage for Cantor is now he makes millions of dollars on Wall Street, so he ended up better off leaving Congress, actually, Eric Cantor.
Something very interesting today about how we should pull the pension away from Congress members. I think we should.
Oh.
Really do. I mean, my uncle Frank would really slap me for that one, but because you see, you serve your country, you should get a pension for it. Well, yeah, but I don't see any of these people serving their country very well, okay?
Well, not here of late, yes. Congressman Wade Gilchrist, who of the 1st District of Maryland, who I've worked along with several projects. I campaigned for him. I worked hard for him. He was one of the good guys. Navy Star, Vietnam combat veteran, but he pissed off the teabaggers and he said yes. He broke ranks with Republicans and said, let's bring our troops home from Iraq. It's enough. This is a real combat veteran that said, our boys have had enough. Get them out.
And then who's this? I didn't get who you said. Who is this person you're referring to? I didn't get the name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Congressman Wayne Gilchrist.
Oh,
first,
yes.
District of Maryland. Okay.
Yes.
He was in the Congress for 16 years or something. Refused to take any special interest money. So when he went in there and voted, he voted his conscience in the way he felt was good for basically, it was the eastern shore of Maryland, the peninsula, and around Annapolis area of Maryland. He was a great congressman, and the teabaggers screwed him.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it really was.
It happens too often. The good people don't want to stay, or they can't stay.
Right.
They were losing good people and good talent, you know.
Yeah. He was a moderate. They couldn't stand that.
Rhino, I guess they called him, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. And so was I, by the way.
Yeah.
I get it. They would do this. I get it 100% that they would do this.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, also now with Hillary Clinton, there's Paul Ryan and Jason Chaffetz and others who are saying she shouldn't have security clearance because of the emails. So that's outrageous, you know. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Hey,
but
you
anyway, like I said, that's why people need to get out and vote and purge this aspect out. We're not going to move forward until we get rid of this negativism, this hate.
Well, know what? The thing is, none of her emails were classified. They were not
Right, they were not classified material at the time.
And they were speaking
about. I tried to explain that to people. They don't want to hear it.
They were speaking about her passing along information on drone attacks. But I think what really was the issue was not a chain of links through drone attacks. I think the other one was about scheduling for her, not only herself, but the POTUS. And it was in an open email type of thing. She says she did not. And I asked, she's not stupid. There's nothing inept about this woman at all. She's on the money. She's smart as hell. And she has a memory that's as long as Santa Claus is back. I mean,
she's got a naughty list and a good boy list.
She does.
Yeah, I've also read that she has a genius IQ. For one place, suppose she says 140, which is genius.
Right.
I can believe it. And I think that scares people. She's such a smart woman. People don't, I think a lot of men particularly don't like smart women, and some women don't like smart women.
Oh, no, men don't like, certain men don't like smart women, but a lot of men do.
I do.
Like,
yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, it's basically... Yeah, that's not fair. Just let it. I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me a bit that Mrs. Clinton it's not a hard thing to do to be a genius as far as Mensa's concerned. It's not about her retention skills, but to be that kind of leader, she really needs those retention skills. Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Yeah, she's well respected by foreign leaders overall. It's a very important thing. They all know her. She traveled 1,000,000 miles in 4 years as Secretary of State. She worked harder than anybody, harder than Donald Trump's ever worked in his life.
Oh, yeah. They respect her because she knows what she's talking about, and she's been around them for 30 years.
Right. Yes, right. She knows the players. And I'm pretty sure she knows the skeletons, too.
I would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, if you just think about yourself, if you'd been in and out of those doors for 30 years, don't you think you would know a whole lot more, especially than some Johnny come lately like Gotti? I mean, what impressed me so and made me look at Hillary Clinton again the way I once did, without a lens of anger, was watching her for 11 hours in front of those idiots.
Yeah.
On the Benghazi, Yeah, she was amazing. She made them look foolish.
Well, it was just, and she treated them very well. She acted like a lady. And after it was over with, I mean, she even got up, walked over, smiled, shook hands with them. You know?
I guess so. You know, she should. She strapped one on and shoved it up their ass. She goes, oh, she had no, of course she's going to smile. See, that's what I love about this blog talk. I can say some things I probably couldn't say on regular radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you look at her smile, you get the feeling, what's in her head that she's not saying?
Yes, exactly. The body language.
Oh, my gosh.
Both volumes. It screamed. Yeah, shoved that one up your ass, didn't I?
And she's got every right to claim it, too, because it's exactly
absolutely.
What.
Oh, absolutely. Look, like I said earlier, for the last, what do we say, 24 years and plus and more, because going to the governors of Arkansas, and just as the first lady, they have tried to bash her, stink her with every bag of poo that they could, and she has taken it, right, rolled, and got back up and delivered a counterpunch to them. Good for her. So.
And like she's a lady of courage.
Exactly. Not taking anything away from Bernie Sanders and the other candidates that are more progressive than others like. I'm just saying, folks, we got to get behind her, because if we're going to have any part of what we want to accomplish, it's got to go through her.
Yeah, I think Robert Kennedy up down and saying, I'm proud of you, Hillary.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
She has definitely been doing, you know, she's gotten better and better, as she did the last time, too. She's gotten better and better at the difference, at bringing it to putting her heart on her sleeve at the podium. And when she does that, the sincerity comes through. Plus, you couple that with her knowledge of the facts and her intelligence, and you have a real leader standing in front of you, and a leader who has a big heart. I think it makes a difference that it's a woman, too. Yes, I do.
And this is what I'd like to see coming up here after the Democratic convention. I would like to see Bernie Sanders go in one direction, saying, hey, all of my supporters, thank you. We did have an effect. But we need to now go behind candidate Clinton. I want Elizabeth Warren to go off in the other direction, saying Trump is an asshole. We deserve better than this. Please support Hillary Clinton. Pick somebody with diversification for the vice president candidate. Somebody who can speak well and also can deliver counter argument, knockout punches to whoever Trump decides to be the sacrificial lamb in the vice president aspect.
Yeah, let me interject here that there's so many good candidates. I love, you know, I basically love them all. But based on what's happened this week, I've started to think, and I've written on my blog about this today, I'm about to publish on it, about the idea that we need someone with urban experience because of the problems of the cities. And it makes me think Cory Booker or Julian Castro, who are mayors of Newark and San Antonio, really might be the way to go. And, you know, it would make more diversification for the future, because I think by 2024, we're going to have another new generation of leadership young, and both Booker and or Castro would be that.
Well, yeah, they're very good. And the thing is, and what I like about what you're saying there is, we have, well, the number one minority in their demographics is those of a Latino descendant.
Yeah, Mexican particularly.
Trump, right, exactly. And with Trump bashing anybody, the stereotyping of it all, of nihilistic, you know, aspects, lazy, murderers, rapists, killers, you know, whatever, drug dealers and stuff, there needs to be that voice in our government at that level. Because, like you said, by the next eight years, Texas, those that were born in Texas, even though their parents might have come over across the border to build a better life for their kids, they will be of voting age, and Texas will become blue.
So Arizona, not even this year,
and so might Georgia
and North Carolina, and even Utah might. The Mormons don't like Trump; they might vote Democratic ones.
Right, there you go. So
yeah, it could be over 400 electoral votes. Possibly for Hillary.
Yes. Well, I hope that's what we're going to do.
And once Texas goes blue with 38 and maybe more in the future with reapportionment electoral votes, the Republicans will never win the White House, ever.
Right.
How can they?
Here's the point. You brought up a good point. White House is one thing. The Senate and Congress is another. But there's also going to be a major change at the local state levels, because the Republicans have been in control and have gerrymandered the states so poorly.
I know, especially the House.
And the House. So then, but also at the state level. I'm talking about your state Senate, your state House representatives at the state level, because this is where reapportionment is. Matter of fact, the Supreme Court has ruled Florida that they have to redistrict because it was so gerrymandered and it was pathetic.
Yes, Florida
and many
is
other
going
states
to
too.
It's not really going to turn out that way. You know that, right?
Well, this is what needs to be done, but people have got to get out and vote. And if you're going to make a change, this is where they've got to change it to.
But the truth is that people are so far. It's possible that the Republican Party could transform. But it could possibly transform into an ultra-leftist sort of a situation. I don't think we've ever seen this kind of political dynamic in the country before. Do you know how many radicals there are out there, activist-oriented people who used to be Democrats? I'm talking my age and your age, Wayne. They're going to be voting for Jill Stein. They are not going to be voting for Hillary because they just won't give over. And they're calling Bernie Sanders a traitor for, going over to Hillary. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my message to those people. You know, look, I sympathize with you. I remember the civil rights movements. I remember the anti-war movements very well. I was definitely, that was the age I grew up in.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing right now is very much the last bastions and the gasping of the old crow aspects and the South not wanting to give up, killing young Jewish kids in Alabama and the black guy, just for simply trying to get people to register to vote, and the Klan killed them.
That was Mississippi.
Yeah.
That's not hurt Alabama.
Yes, Mississippi Burning, right? Then you had Bull Connors, who
and
had
George
more
Wallace.
Power in Louisiana than the governor did. And when the Mobile, Alabama, and when the buses came through, basically he told the Klan, he says, you got 15 minutes to drag these people off and just club them. And he said, I promise nobody will be arrested. I'll give you 15 minutes. After that, hit the road, and then we'll come in and clean it up. Kennedy knew that they were planning on killing those people and beating the hell out of them. He called, I can't remember the governor's name at the time, but even the governor was so afraid of that.
Wallace,
terror.
It was George Wallace, actually.
No, it wasn't Wallace. It was,
in Alabama, it was in 63.
Alabama was Wallace, so hold on.
Ross Barnett in Mississippi.
Say it again?
Ross Barnett and Paul Johnson in Mississippi, two different governors in Mississippi.
Alabama burning. I'm trying to think. Where were burning? Anyway, I'm trying. I'm getting it mixed up down there. But anyway, Kennedy called the governor saying, "I want you to get in there, send in the troops, keep Bull Connors, the sheriff, from killing those people." And the governor told the secretary, says, "Tell him I'm out in the Gulf fishing. I can't be reached." That's how much Bull Connors had over that state down there.
Yes, terrible.
I'm going to have to Google this now, but folks, you'll have to look it up. The sheriff's name is Bull Connors.
Yes, police chief in Birmingham, and, yeah.
I only 6 minutes left, so really I would appreciate it if you would both tell folks where to find you online to read your blog.
Professor, you go first, sir.
Hello?
Professor Ron?
Well, I'm not sure what you want me to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Give us your blog site and
you can be found. Okay, I'm on Facebook, and on Facebook I'm under my name, Ronald Fineman, also under the Progressive Professor, also under Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidency. I'm also on Twitter as Politist, PolitHist, and, of course, I have my Progressive Professor blog I've done for 8 years now, and I, of course, have had a lot of interviews for my book, Assassinations, Threats to the American Presidency, from Roman Littlefield, and I'm very happy that I've had all these radio interviews, including the many times you've allowed me to be on this show. I've been on C-SPAN. I've been on NPR. I've been, really had a great time, and I'm writing articles for History News Network almost every week now, and I'm really enjoying it, and it's been great being with both of you.
I was going to say,
Professor, you bring so much value added to programs like this for your wealth of knowledge and your insights.
Well, thank
I'd like
you.
To have you on before, right before the election.
Oh, of course.
How you think things are developing, kind of give your, I won't say prediction, but we'll say projections of how you think things are going to go down.
Of course, absolutely. Whatever you want me, just give me notice.
Oh, very good.
Gentlemen, please give me a moment here. I'm going to play my commercial, okay? 30 seconds.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Just let me get that one in. Give myself
a minute.
This is our spot to talk about Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Aromacology, our sponsor for the show. Indigenous scents representing the fragrant memories of our ancestors that provide us the tools for the inner quest, the authentic moment, and to heal the Earth's Mother. DaughtersOfIsis.com. Full sale is available too. If you just mention the show, you'll enjoy a free sample from our apothecary. Thank you. DaughtersOfIsis.com. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Wayne, tell them where they can find you.
Very good. Like I said, the things that I've talked about on the programs in the past and current here today can be found at Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. Please go there, read for yourself. Like I said, I've known Professor for a while. He can vouch for anything I've said.
Absolutely. You're the greatest.
Very good. Thank you. Oh, you're too kind. Bye-bye. Good night, all.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me again, Gwen and Wayne. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Ron. Thanks for coming on with us. I'm looking forward to the next time already. Appreciate and value your commentary.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I hope you'll join us again next Sunday at 6 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and that's all we have today.